Blog Talk Radio.
Royal Dreams. Royal Dreams.
Welcome. That's a new song by my son, Bijola. BJ, that's powerful, that man. Those names at the end, those his three daughters. That's a powerful song right there, man. BJ, keep doing what you're doing, man. Proud of you, son. Proud of you. Brothers and sisters, welcome. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, aka Master Teacher 33. Got another powerful show scheduled for you today. Brothers and sisters, we've got to jump right in, as you know. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my sisters, we want to wrap this up. Well, actually, we're going to finish up part three. Then we're going to get into talking about a little bit about the solution and the introduction, the new series that starts, or the new program that starts on June the 1st. So hopefully everybody's already made that $250 payment that's a part of the Business Builders Club, so that way you can take your dish, your specialty. What's your specialty dish? What's your program? Once you reconnect neurologically, then you're able to operate and vibrate on your particular frequency, your particular wave, or your particular vibration. So today we want to talk about the smoking gun. Man, just finished the 101. Man, with a powerful 101. That really speaks to the core of today's topic, self-shame. Man, this is a big one. This is personal for me as well because, as you guys know, I suffered from a lot of, you know, self-rejection, self-hate, and then lastly, self-guilt and self-shame. Guilt and shame is different. We want to talk about both because they both are part of the issue or the concern when we are dealing with why you are not able to take massive action. Anytime I'm talking to somebody and they keep promising me that they're going to do something, but they're not able to do it, there is a reason, there is a causality for that specific reality. So there is a causality for your reality, and the cause is that every moment of anger that is directed, you know, in a specific manner that is not healthy provides a powerful disconnection from the experience of authentic, of being authentic. So every time that you go through or that you are engaged in any type of a, again, I don't use the word anger, but a better word would probably be a unrealistic expectation. So anytime there was something that you are expecting to happen, and whatever it is that you are expecting to happen doesn't happen, that results in a misplaced dependency. So whenever you misplace your dependency, you are depending upon something, or you're depending upon someone, and that something or that someone that you are depending upon is not there for you, then that result in a neurological disconnection, but because you own it, but you can't control it. So it's like me feeling bad because I predict that the weather is going to be sunny and 90 and it's cloudy, rainy and 60. So I can't control the weather. So by taking ownership of goals that I can't control instead of taking ownership of roles. So self-shame and self-hate is the result of a self-conscious emotion that informs us of an internal state of inadequacy, an internal state of unworthiness, an internal state of regret, an internal state of dishonor, and an internal state of a disconnection. So shame is a signal that all of the positive feelings and emotions have been interrupted. Let me say that again. Shame and guilt are both signals that the internal neurological connection has been disconnected. Let me say that again. Shame is the result whenever there's a neurological disconnection between you and the goal, because you should be attached to the role. You should not be attached to the goal. So shame is an over-reliance upon goals you can't control. So if my goal is to control the weather, and I can't control the weather because it's outside of my goal. Now, remember, if you're a black man in America, what can you control? Answer, other than when you die, nothing. Everything is controlled by the dominant culture. Now, I know. Negroes tell me all the time, oh, it's not me, Brother Will. You understand, my brother. I'm running shit over here, brother. Man, sit down. Negroes, we don't run nothing. We can't run nothing. We don't even own our own culture now. The white man has took the culture from us, and they've rewrote the culture and gave it back to us. That's why Negroes walk around calling each other the N-word. And that's why, you know, I really like David Banner, man. He breaks down a lot of good stuff to break down the fact that how we've denurtured and we've neutered our own culture. Now, I understand we come from, you know, we've been free half of the time that we've been slaves. And so, yeah, that's going to be some shame. But we got to get rid of this self-shame because it's interrupting your ability to be successful. And when you come between me and my internal state of wealth, my internal state of health, my internal state of wisdom, my internal state, are you listening very clearly? Because somebody's going to text me and email me your internal state. If you hold it in your head by universal spiritual law, and I'm living proof, anything you hold in your head, good or bad, it's going to manifest in your hand. Guaranteed. No reverend, no doctor, no bishop, no curandero needed. The inability to maintain the internal state of power is the result of these three demons. You cannot take action because the internal state is not connected to source. It's like if my computer runs great as long as that sucker's plugged up. The moment that I disconnect my computer, it stops working. Now my laptop has a battery. So I can disconnect my laptop from the power source, emphasis on the word source. I can disconnect from the source, but I got a battery. And the battery will allow my computer, my laptop, to continue to operate as long as there is enough power full in the battery. But once the battery become powerless, the computer doesn't work. Now, computers are just dumbed down or reverse engineered brains. So if the computer doesn't work without its source, what the hell makes you think that you're going to work without your source? So once you become interrupted or disconnected from source, shame and guilt is the result. So self-shame and self-guilt are the last three. Even though they are different, they're still the same because they are expressed, they are exposed, they are expanded in the same biological manner, meaning they result in the same biological dis-ease. It's like you've been dissed. Like where I'm from in the hood, if they're like, oh, dog, you got dissed, home. Like you're trying to talk to this female and the female don't talk to you, that means you got served, homie. You got dissed. Diss is not a good term. Diss means you got interrupted. Hand to the face. You got dissed, boo-boo. So when you get dissed, it's not a benevolent term. And so self-shame and self-guilt is a disconnection. It is a neurological disconnection that takes place whenever there is an emotion of inadequacy, whenever there is an emotion of unworthiness, whenever there is an emotion of dishonor, whenever there's an emotion of regret, whenever any type of emotional fear, doubt, and unbelief, that disconnects you from source. Let me say that again. Anybody want to go to hell? Anybody? Any volunteers? Anybody want to go to hell, just disconnect from source. You're in there. There's a lot of people in hell right now. It's a vibrational separation from source. That's hell. Hell is when you disconnect yourself from source. Hell is absence of God. God is heaven. Devil is hell. Meaning, as long as you are in the presence of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control, self-rejection, self-hate, self-shame, self-guilt cannot exist. It is impossible. But every second of fear, doubt, and unbelief redirects the energy or the entity so that there are certain circumstances that are triggered a powerful feeling. This powerful feeling is failure to meet your own ideal or standard. So shame leads you to feel like your whole self is flawed. Shame means you feel bad. Shame means you feel exclusion. Shame means you feel subject to, regulated to, a second-class citizen. Every black man in America, black woman, too, knows that feeling. It is an all-too-familiar feeling when you feel regulated to a second-class citizen. So self-shame is a result of Willie Lynch and the psychological effects of white privilege. So self-shame is an automatic response for every melanated person on the planet. Just being in the presence of white produces self-shame because you're not white. And everything is controlled by white. Now, I don't care where you go. I talk to Negroes every day. Oprah Winfrey still black. Y'all saw that piece with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade. Let me see who else was in there. My boy, I forgot his name. Plays Ray Charles. He was in the room. They was all kind of like having like a barbershop talk. Now, these were all very wealthy black people, very deep pockets. They still Negroes at the end. They were talking about the feeling. Now, every black person know this. Now, most white people know this, but white people's shame is different from black people's shame. White people's shame, you can put it on and take it off. Negroes, we can't take our color on, and we can't take it off. And there we go. Yeah, Jamie Foxx. Thanks, BJ. So Jamie Foxx. So they was all sitting around, and they was talking about, you know, black people can't put on and take off shame. And we was talking about the N-word. I sent the video over to my son, BJ, because I remember having that conversation with him when all his friends would get around and say, oh, what's up, my nigga? What's up, my nigga? And I would be like, I didn't like that, man. I was like, BJ, why they feel comfortable, homie, with calling you that and talking to you? Well, dad, it's our generation. It's our generation. It's a different term. It's the fact that no white man should be or white woman should be comfortable with calling you the N-word. Because that's disrespectful. That means they don't respect you. You cannot respect somebody while disrespecting them. So the only way that happens is if you got self-shame. You're ashamed of yourself, so you allow other people to disrespect yourself. And the only way that you can be ashamed of the self is if you don't know the self. If you know you God, how the hell are you going to be ashamed of being God? If you are all-knowing, if you're all-power, if you're all-present, if you're all-simplistic, meaning you can take a complex quantum physics equation and you can break it down so a first grader can understand it, and if you are always loving, if you're always kind, if you're always generous, if you're always faithful, if you're all of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, if you are, who is the King of Glory? Who is the Lord, strong and mighty? That is you, boo-boo. You are the Lord. I broke that down on Sunday morning. We went into the Greek and we broke it down word by word according to the Bible that you got in your house. Like, I can't make this stuff up, man. It's in your Bible. But the fact that you ain't never looked it up, that's self-shame. Your neurons in the brain, they know you, God, but you don't know you, God. So your own self is rejecting your ego. That's called cognitive dissonance. That's in the book of James. That's why you're in Groundhog's Day. That's the only reason you can't move forward, because you think you're a peasant, and your brain, the neurons in your brain say, no, we kingly neurons. And so your neurons refuse to fight, refuse to connect with the ego's neurons. So there is a war going on in your brain. Your flesh is warring against your spirit, and the spirit is warring against the flesh. The two are contrary to one another. So the neurons in your brain, the fleshly ego neurons is saying we peasants, but the kingly neurons from source is saying we God. And so God is fighting against the flesh. God is spirit. And so your spirit is warring against the flesh. Exodus chapter 15, verse 3. Exodus chapter 15, verse 3 says, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. L-O-R-D, it means to be or to exist in matter. If you exist, if you can do this, you are Lord. Lord means kurios in the Greek. Kurios means owner, manager, or overseer. Now, other than if you black, then a white man own you. But one day you got to own yourself, Negro. You got to start thinking for yourself. But until then, yeah, you ain't Lord. You still peasant. But one day you're going to stop being peasant. One day you're going to stop being boy. One day you're going to have a name and you're going to tell the white man, hey, my name ain't boy. And you're gonna speak up for yourself. And maybe it may not be today, but one day you're going to do like me. You're going to walk off a job. You're going to turn over some chairs and you're going to dare somebody to put their hands on you. You're going to have the I wish a Negro would mentality. You will walk through a crowd of people and you will hope and pray that somebody grow some balls to put a hand on you. It may not be today, but one day you're going to have righteous indignation. That's the day you become a God. Until then, you're just a boy. Now, it's okay. We all got to go through the process. It took me 50 years to get here. So it might take you a little while, boo-boo. It's okay. I ain't mad at you. I'm just simply saying the process is in place. It exists where men become gods. Now, you still probably are in what they call the programming stage. I post the 5 stages on my Facebook page. Stage 1, programming stage, shell. Stage 2, intellectual stage, shell. Stage 3, the emotional stage. Stage 4 is the energy stage. And stage 5 is the physical stage. That simply means that you're programmed with an intellect called a personality. That intellect creates an emotional reality. Oh, wow, there's a bluebird outside my window. Man, that thing is really blue. Wow, it's the same one. You know, but them bluebirds are kind of ruthless. I saw the bluebird, man, and it was some baby birds in the tree, and the bluebird went up there, you know, they got those long, sharp beaks, and it, like, started, like, pecking the other little bird and basically put that little bird to sleep. I don't know why I need to say that, but, yeah, there was a bluebird sitting out the window, and it's very, very colorful. They're very pretty, but them bluebirds are pretty ruthless. Anyway. When we're talking about shame, my brothers and sisters, we're talking about over understanding that there is a part of you that knows you, but it's interrupted. So you've programmed with an intellect that's not from God. That creates an emotion that's not from God. That creates an energy or an aura that's not from God. That creates your physical reality that is not from God. God doesn't create poverty. Not the one that I serve. God doesn't create sickness. Not the one that I serve. No, hang out with and a part of. Excuse me. God doesn't create ignorance. And he surely doesn't create environments where there is no mutual respect and mutual love. That's called toe curling. So all of this is an illusion. That simply means that you have been disconnected from source. The Lord is a warrior. Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic power. Your right hand, O Lord, has scattered and shattered my enemies. That's Exodus 15, verse 6. So the Lord is a bad dude or dudette. That's supposed to be you, boo-boo. Now, I know you're looking for God, but there's something called the Gospel in the Stars. There's a book actually called, the title of the book is called The Gospel in the Stars. I recommend you read it. Or you can just read my book. But the key is you got to connect with source. You got to connect with the cosmos. You got to connect with the big G, not the little one. Otherwise, you're going to have a certain feeling. Now, let me make sure you understand this feeling. This feeling doesn't allow you to lift up your heads, O gates. Be you lifted up, you, O ancient of doors, that the King of Glory may enter. Who is this King of Glory? The glow ray, the ray that makes you glow. We talked about the seven rays in a private session. Seven rays, you got some of them. That is the King. That makes you king. You are the King of the Glory. You are the King of some rays. You may got one ray, or you may have all seven rays, but you got something that was given to you by source. You're supposed to be giving that, boo-boo. You're not supposed to be giving the little head or the big head your intellectual knowledge. You're supposed to be giving your ray. You're supposed to be giving your frequency, your wave, or your vibration. You're supposed to be bringing that. The sun emits more than just heat. It also emits energy. It also emits a circuitry. It also emits a Greek word called zoad, Z-O-A-D. The Greek word zoad, where we get the word monad, which is, again, an emission from source. A monad is a zonad. A zonad is where we get the English word zodiac. So the Greek word Z-O-A-D, take out the Z, put in an R, that means road. R-O-A-D. So zo means road. So it means the way, the path, the step, or the circuit. It is a Sanskrit word that means soda, S-O-D-I. So the Sanskrit word S-O-D-I gives us the English word circuit. So a neurological circuit is disconnected when you feel shame, when you feel guilty. That's why I don't do that shiznit. I don't do fear, man. I don't do doubt. I don't do unbelief. I don't do. So you go to church and the Reverend Dr. Bishop says that, okay, you didn't do this, that, and other. What do you feel? Well, you feel like a little sinner. You feel like a poor critter. That's designed to disconnect you from God, not connect you to God. If any man, woman, or child make you feel anything other than love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, and self-control, you should exit stage left as soon as humanly possible. Anybody, including me. No man or woman has the right to make another man or woman feel less than. Now, if you want to elevate me, that's great. Everybody on this planet has a circuit. You are an electrical capacitor. The word zodiac means a way, a path, a step, or a circuit. It comes from the Sanskrit and the Greek and the Hebrew and the Latin. There are specifically 12 circuits. There are they're called constants. We call them constellations. There is a constant frequency, a constant wave, a constant vibration that is sent by the Greek word patar that gives the English word father. So God is the father. Is he, she, it not? Inside of the Helios Biblios, Helios, sun, is that not a frequency? Is that not a wave? It's heat. So the sun book, you are the book of life. So the 12 frequencies are sent down through the Mazaruth. The word Mazaruth is a Hebrew word that's found in Job chapter 38, verse 32, which again, that word means in that particular point in Job, also in Job 26:13, where God tells Job that, hey, homie, where was you at when I formed the constellations? Now, in this particular verse, it's talking about a fleeing serpent, where we get the word hydro, H-Y-D-R-A, and H-Y-D-R-O. Remember, there was no vowels. So they took out the O and they put in the A. So we got a serpent and we don't got water. So the Bible is a book about water. That's why it's called a mystery. That's what the Bible says. You got to know the mystery of the gospel. The word mystery means mist, M-I-S-T, the water story. So this is a story of how water flows. That's why the body is made up of 80% water. But you are ashamed of it. You are ashamed of the 80% water that is the hydro. So the constellation gives 12, really 13, different constants that are dumbed down into 7 emissions or rays. And so these 7 hours or 7 days or 7 deities, that's why we got 7 days that makes 1 week, W-E-A-K, not W-E-E-K. And so these 7 frequencies, these 7 rays, these 7 vibrations, this allows you to incarnate, if we want to use that term. And so the word incarnate, carnal means flesh. So source code puts something inside of flesh. So when we look at Psalm chapter 19, when it talks about that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, when we look at something like how, let's say the Sphinx, which is a giant lion with the head of a woman. So the woman is the Virgo, the lion is Leo. And when we look at that, the word, the name Sphinx itself comes from a Greek word, sigio, S-H-I-G-G-I-O, I think is how you say it. It means to bind closely together or to come together. So everything in Egypt is talking about the constellations, which starts with Virgo at the beginning and end with Leo at the end. Virgo is the head and the tail is Leo, the lion. That's why the Sphinx is a picture of a lion with a woman's head, because it represents the Virgo and it represents the alphabet or the alpha, which means seed or seed cluster. So when we talk about the word Beta Virginis, where we get the word Virgo, what we're talking about is the beta or the beta star, which means beautiful star, which means gamma star, which means gamma Virginis or Virgius. All of this is talking about the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was and the one who is. So the Hebrew words in all of the English language is designed to make sure that you stay connected with the right circuit. This is an electrical magnetic environment. That's why you got sodium and potassium pumps. So your ability to understand, okay, what disconnects me from this sodium and potassium pump? So the only way that I can be dissed, is that if I am disconnected, if I'm disconnected. Okay, how can I be disconnected? How in the world can I be disconnected from source? Well, the only way that you can be dis is negative self-perception. Father, touch the minds of your people. Your self-worth establishes your net worth. No self-perception, no net perception. So a negative or distorted self-image, a negative or distorted self-perception. Every problem on earth is a perception problem. You don't see yourself. See, the only way you can call me the N-word, and the only way you let somebody else call you the N-word, is if you don't know the N-word. You don't know that they're supposed to call you the G-word. So if you want to call me out of my name, call me a God. Don't call me a Negro or a nickel. If you got a derogatory term that you want to call me, you call me a God, homie. That's the derogatory term that I will allow you to call me. Otherwise, we're going to have a social interaction. That's going to result in some physical confrontation. I'm just keeping it real. See, I come from a different era. So let me make sure we understand, because this ability to allow somebody to disrespect you is the result of you disrespecting yourself. How? You are negatively dumbing yourself down. This is psychosomatic. Shame manifests itself in overachievements. If you are an overachiever, you're suffering from a negative self-perception. Now, let me make sure you understand this, because shame is really interesting. So if you are ashamed of yourself, you hide yourself. Or if you're ashamed of yourself, you promote yourself. You see how shame, I saved this one for last, because shame is worse than self-hatred and worse than self-rejection. Now, self-rejection is, that's like, again, kissing the devil in the mouth. Excuse me, I have to get some water. And then self-hatred, you actually hate yourself. That is crazy. And so you deny yourself by actually promoting yourself. But you promote yourself in a situation that you know you can't achieve. So you say, yeah, I'm going to run this mile in 4 minutes. You've never worked out. You never ran a mile in your life. And you say that you're going to go out and run that mile in 4 minutes. And you fail, because you only engage in activities that you know you can't win, because that's a form of self-hate. So self-hatred means that you make promises you can't keep. Because you know you can't keep them, and the only way to verify that you hate yourself is to continue to fail at being yourself. So you got to keep failing. Every time you do, you fail. You fail, that just verifies. And then you get ashamed. You're ashamed because you failed. You fail because you reject yourself. And you reject yourself because you don't know yourself. You see how they work together? So remember, you can't have number one without number two. You can't have number two without number three. You can't have number three without number four. So everything starts with, okay, I don't know myself. There's nobody on earth that was born with a manual that when you was born, nobody gave you a Dear Kinney report. So everybody, that's what I said, if you have children, the best thing that you could do for them is to order my 700. Now my Dear Kinney report, when I'm adding in the Ray stuff and radiology, all the new information, now the Dear Kinney reports is like the next ones I'm going to start pumping out. And I probably wait till the new year. Because it's just, man, the information is coming so fast now. It's like a 1,000-page report. So obviously the cost is probably going to double on the Dear Kinney report. So I may just start. I don't know. I mean, it's mind-blowing. It's like, okay, how do I break this down into a manner by which a third grader can understand it? And you just say it as simply as possible. The simplest way is usually the easiest and the best way. And what I just said, which was, the gospel is in the stars. So if I take a third grader outside and I point them up to the stars and I show them the constellation, the zodiac signs in the stars, and then I'm able to break down that the word that is used in Psalm 63:1, Psalms chapter 63, verse 1, Psalm 63, verse 1, where David says unto God, my soul longs for you. So the word that longs for you is where we get the English word, you know, desire. So the word desire, the word long, that is a word that means deacon, D-E-C-A-N. Where we get the deacon in the church, where A deacon is a lesser constellation that is associated with one of the zodiac signs. So a deacon is a constellation, but it's a smaller constellation. So for the 12th constellation, wow, there's like 24 deacons, smaller constellations. I didn't even want to get into that because it's so deep, man. It gets into the ancient Sumerian text and then the ancient Sumerian word Hegal, H-E-He means good, Gal means great, he great. So that's you. The ancient Sumerian text talks about he great. So Hegal means he good or he great. And if we look at the Akkadian text, we get the word kak or kaba, or kaba, where we get the word kabbalist. It's K-A-K-K-A-B. The K-A means house or king or lord. And the K-A-B means offspring or power. So that means you are the king or the lord of the offspring and the power of God. Like sometimes I wish I was talking to our client earlier, Brother Andreas. And as I read in the private pay-per-view show in part 7 from the book, Who is This King of Glory by Alvin Boyd Kuhn, and from my book, The Ontological History of Mankind. And in the ancient texts, if you want to perform a magical trick, you started talking. In the ancient texts, they talked about these points of connectivity that reconnects the neurological interruption that's the result of self-shame. So self-shame and self-guilt is the result of self-hate. Self-hate is the result of self-rejection. Self-rejection is the result of a lack of self-knowledge. A lack of self-knowledge is the result of a lack of language or the use of language. The use of language was introduced to produce an interruption in the body. Before the Tower of Babel, everybody thought mano y mano. We taught or we was able to communicate using mental telepathy. So I was amazing because I was talking to or text a potential client, and the connection from the shows was I've listened to you on YouTube. And then I got another show, and this lady that I knew about 5 years ago, and she's a reverend. Her name was Reverend Cheryl. And so Reverend Cheryl contacted me, paid the $250 to join the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center Business Club. And in this club, we're going to be building businesses based upon your personal dish, meaning your neurological connection to source. So we're building businesses not based upon a gimmick or a scam, but we're building a business based upon a product, service, or information. Now, I have not heard from this person for a good 3-4 years, but there's always a vibrational connection that's not interrupted. That is what language does. The mind of a man will be doubly safeguarded against invasion from irrational interruptions as long as there is a cosmological discovery and connection. The only way to destroy an individual connection with the Pitar or God is through the cult of the supernatural. The cult of the supernatural, I'm reading from the book by Alvin Boyd Kuhn, Who is This King of Glory? So the only way to disconnect the natural current is by making gullible fools out of millions through the influence known as history. So the ability to use words to rewrite the narrative of the original cosmos creates a disconnection or a neurological interruption in the brain. Now remember, the seven steps to processed or possession. Based upon what we are discussing today, the end result is self-shame, self-guilt. You feel guilty because of an internal state of inadequacy, because of an internal state of unworthiness, because of an internal feeling of dishonor, because of an internal mental state of regret, because of an internal feeling of loathing, self-loathing, because the Reverend Dr. Bishop told you you was a sinner, or you're a worthless dung, or you're a dog, or you're this, or you're that. That feeling brings about shame. So shame leads you to feel as though your whole self is flawed. And so it's you go to self-hatred. Once you get to self-hatred, you hate yourself. You loathe the self, but that's not the real self. So you hating something that's not even you. Then you reject the self. And so you have self-rejection. But that all starts from the language that was used to bring about the feelings. So I'm talking, and what I'm saying produces feelings. So language is a mystical or magical, quote-unquote, practice. So in the ancient text, the magi, the magicians, those were the scribes and Pharisees. So in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus said, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees. You yourself cannot enter into my kingdom. And you prevent other people from entering into my kingdom." How? Because they took away jots and tittles, meaning they changed definitions of words. So the possession of kingly power that is the devoid of fleshly power. So fleshly power was magi or magic. It was ritualistic magic. It was putting letters in a particular order to provoke a particular response. So language, and the word language actually means language, which means god of war. So language is war. So if I want to engage in mind effing you, I just keep talking, because that's going to bring about mental confusion. Unless I talk didactically. That's why I only teach didaculas. I only teach using etymology, because I'm not trying to mess up your theology. Because etymology messes up theology. It destroys the brain's or the body's ability to connect. And this is what the quote-unquote magi or the magicians or the magic or my son BJ was telling me, the magistrate, which is magi state. So we look at the word magistrate when you go to court. Magic, you go in front of the magistrate. That's the magic state. M-A-G-I, magic state. So the magi or the magic state or the magistrate. All of this is word magic. All of this is abracadabra. All of this is the ability to mind F you, to keep you in a state of confusion. Because why? It brings about a neurological disconnection in the brain. And so this neurological disconnection in the brain, your brain knows you are not being you. Your spirit knows. So I feel a little weird whenever I'm fake. You do too. But we just override it. You've been fake so long that you forgot how to be real. Not you personally, but, you know, people you know. Now, let me make sure you understand that, because, see, the minute a lot of people say, "Well, Brother Will, I'm being authentic, brother." And then it's not expressing love, joy, peace, gentleness. And then it's fake love. It's jovial. It's not unconditional. That means that you love me as long as I love you. Long as I'm paying your bills. As long as I'm doing whatever you want me to do, then, man, I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. But if I stop tithing, oh, man, we got a problem. Everybody has a difficulty with self-actualization in the form of self-hate, self-rejection, and self-shame. Now, all of this is the result of self-sabotage. Now, let's get to the meat of the message. This is going to be a little rough, but hey, we all big boys and girls, so we understand. Shame is a powerful emotion that's the result of a sense of failure to obtain your ideal state. Let me say that again. Somebody should write that down. Shame is an emotion that comes across as a sense of failure to obtain the ideal, your ideal state. Let me say that one more time. Shame is a awareness of, hey, I came up short. I failed. Okay, what did I fail at? I had a desired state. So shame is a thought process that's the result of self-focused attention. Now, shame differs from guilt because guilt is a negative evaluation of the goal. That's guilt. You feel guilty when you evaluate your behavior and you say, why did I do that? So shame and guilt, although they are kissing cousins, they're different. See, shame is the result of an awareness. The awareness is I didn't attain something. So shame is the failure to obtain. Guilt is the analyzation of what was attained or not attained. So shame is more like an embarrassment. Shame, remember, is internal because shame has nothing to do with other people. Guilt does. Shame doesn't. See, shame is self-awareness. Shame is self-blame. Guilt is others' awareness. Guilt is other blame. So I feel guilty if somebody knows I stole something. I feel ashamed if nobody knows I stole something and I got away with it. Shame is eternal. Guilt is external. Self-shame, self-guilt, they kissing cousins. They come in a package deal. If you got one, you got the other. Because shame is an internal awareness. Oh, dude, you effed up. Guilt is the external demonstration. Dude, you effed up. So in order to experience shame, first, you got to have an awareness of a social norm or a misplaced dependency. That's the only way you can have shame. Now, remember, shame means I have a goal, but I ain't told nobody. I got a goal to lose 15 pounds, and I didn't meet my goal, so I'm ashamed. I said I made a promise to myself that I'm not eating no more sugar. They're having a party at work, the potluck, and somebody brought in my favorite peach cobbler. And I promised myself I'm on day 3 of my 7-day fast. And I promised myself, no sugar for 7 days. And nobody's around. It's just you, yourself, and yourself. And you demolished that peach cobbler. When you go back to your desk and you're sitting there, you're going to feel ashamed. Self-shame, come kissing the devil in the mouth. If you're going to eat that peach cobbler, homie, eat it with pride. Poke your chest out. Tell everybody, I'm eating a peach cobbler because I freaking want to eat peach cobbler. I'm going to go hit that treadmill after I get out of work, though. But right now, I'm eating a peach cobbler. So shame is when you got your own rules and you don't even meet your own rules. Now, guilt is outside of you. Shame is inside of you. Guilt is when you meet the harsh disapproval for a specific behavior. You go to church, you got that short miniskirt on, you know, them old mothers in the church look at you and, girl, you're showing all your goodies to everybody. And you feel guilty. Why? Because somebody came up to you and they spotlighted your behavior. You are violating a known rule. Your dress should be 1 inch below the knee. You got a dress on that's 1 inch above the knee. Not good for you, boo-boo. You're going to feel ashamed. You're going to feel guilty. You're going to have, and you're going to be the object of disapproval. Now, what's interesting is, in both of these, guilt and shame, it's really interesting that all of us have beliefs. And what we do is we adjust the acceptable point or standard concerning that belief. For example, like, it is not socially acceptable to go to a funeral and be jovial, be laughing, be cracking jokes and having fun. Because somebody just died, dude. And you mean to tell me you're going to come up here and act like you had a Kevin Hart concert? So the feeling that you get, you're going to feel guilty because it's not socially acceptable. It's not a social norm. It's not socially normal. You are socially abnormal. So people who suffer from self-guilt, self-shame, they are not socially normal. You will always find them because they purposely, unconsciously, but purposely, actually, they destroy social norms and hidden codes, knowingly, but they don't know. So everybody knows the feeling, like I'm very conscious or self-conscious of, like, I know me and my wife, we had this conversation a lot. Like, we go out to a restaurant, I'm conscious of like, we just went out for Mother's Day. And we was there, a table of 15, 20 people of all my wife's family. We was there with, you know, with her mother. And then her mother's mother is still around. And so, you know, she was there. Then her father's mother was there. And then, you know, my wife, you know, she's a mother. So we're celebrating the mothers and we're all there. And we're laughing and we're joking. And we're having a good time. And it was really toward the end after everybody ate. I don't even remember what we were talking about, but we was laughing really, really loud. And I looked around and I noticed everybody else in the restaurant was looking at us. So I had a feeling. And I noticed everybody else in the table, they didn't have that feeling. I was the only one. And I noticed that I talked to this, like, when I first met my wife, I used to tell her this all the time. Because I'm like, why y'all so loud? And she's like, I don't give a damn what nobody else thinks. Now, and for me, because I'm so cautious of other people, because that's my social norm. So I had to learn, okay, why though? Why was that a social norm for me? And why wasn't that a social norm for my wife? Because my wife accepts herself. I didn't accept myself. So when you have a over-awareness of outside stimulation instead of the inside, instead of me being inside enjoying Mother's Day with mothers, I was outside of the circle, aware of the outer verse instead of the inner verse. That's a sign of self-guilt, self-shame. I was feeling ashamed. Because the acceptable standard concerning actions, thoughts, and feelings was not being met. Whose acceptable standard? Whose acceptable thought? Whose acceptable action? See, everybody's perception is different. And so once you become aware, this is all about awareness. It is not about right or wrong. It's not about morality. This is about mentality. It's about having a bad self-image. So my self-esteem, which is defined as my attitude towards myself, it has nothing to do with nobody else. I was aware of other people looking at me. And I didn't want other people looking at me. Why? Because I wasn't looking at myself. So the inability to see value in the self. So I only want people looking at me if I got value. And being normal to me is not valuable. Because being normal wasn't valuable when I was a kid. when I was a kid growing up, I wasn't Master Teacher 33. When I was a kid, I didn't have 50 books. When I was a kid, I didn't have, you know, 500 videos. When I was a kid, I didn't have, you know, 200 7-hour audio shows. When I was a kid, you know, I didn't have no 2019 Camaro. When I was a kid, I didn't have a big house. I didn't have a beautiful wife. I didn't have all of the things that bring me worth and value. I did not have as a kid. So the only thing I had was my personality, and it got rejected. So I learned as a little kid, nobody likes your personality. You better bring something else to the potluck. So I like, well, I don't got nothing else. All I got is my personal traits, attributes, and characteristics that was given to me by source code. And I was told without being told, Negro, that ain't good enough. So the fact that you are 6, we don't care. The fact that you got compassion. Oh, you are 3, you're very creative. Creative don't pay bills around here, homie. Oh, and you're another 3, and you're 9. Well, those numbers and the symbols, the attributes, characteristics, your blood type, you know, skin color, all the stuff that gives you worth and value now. Well, when I was a kid, it wasn't valuable. Being me was not valuable. At least that's the perception that I took away due to the lack of engagement by siblings and caregivers, according to my head. So all of us have beliefs about what is considered, quote unquote, acceptable behavior. So my definition of what is acceptable and your definition of what is acceptable is different. So my level of shame, my level of guilt, because again, the shame is the thought process that brings about any self-focused attention. So if I get attention that's not based upon my books, I feel funny. If I get attention that's not based upon my shows, I feel funny. If I get attention that's not, if I get attention that's based upon love, I'm uncomfortable. Creation, I'm uncomfortable. Why? Those are innate attributes and characteristics. That's not something that I've done. That's something that I be. So we feel shame when who we be is not valuable or wasn't valuable to the powers that be when we was little Sheerans, because it carries over. So your ability to accept yourself, not what you do, who you be. Oh, okay. We got a conundrum. Because I don't know nobody that knows who they be. When I ask everybody, okay, who are you? They tell me what they do. Now, I didn't ask where you work. I asked, who are you? What do you mean? Who are you being in this moment? What? I love asking that question, especially the kids. I love like teenagers. Like, you sit down and have a talk. I do this with my kids all the time. All the time. They be like, yeah, Dad, I know. We're suffering from toxic shame. And they're like, no, don't tell me what you do, because you get your worth and your value from what you do. Because remember, I did it for 50 years. So I can spot somebody who's an overachiever. And I tell my daughter this all the time, because she was the oldest. And so she got it a little bit worse. So my oldest daughter is an extreme overachiever. But what drives her to achieve? There's a feeling. What is that feeling that drives? We're supposed to be led, not driven. See, you're driven by demons, but you're led by angels. Angels lead and guide. Demons drive and push. So are you driven, brother? Are you driven, sister? Do you gotta do what you gotta do? Or you been led by the Ruach and the Numa? Shame, just like guilt and embarrassment, involves negatively judging yourself. By what? By what you believe you failed to live up to. See, in my daughter's head and in my head, we ain't. Remember, I was just telling it the other day. Remember the other day I was saying that a man my age, I'm supposed to be blank, blank, blankety, blank, blank, blank. Okay, by whose definition? Where did I get that from? Yeah, I remember yesterday, we were just talking about it. at the end of the show yesterday, I said that, you know, I'm ashamed of myself. Why am I ashamed of myself? Because I should be retired, boats and cars and houses. Remember, I said I should be a $5 million in air by now, and I'm barely getting to the $1 million plant. I should have been a millionaire when I was freaking 21. So my standards, remember, shame is associated with the belief that you failed to live up to your own standards, not other people's. See, everybody else's definition of me is like third grade stuff. My definition of me, though, like that's what I say when people, that's why I laugh when people, they insult me, though. They say things that they think are insulting to me. And it's like there's nothing nobody outside of me can say that I haven't already said to myself. So I'm disappointed in myself. I don't give a damn about it. Somebody else is disappointed. So you read my book and you're disappointed? Like, be for real. Like, for real? Shit, I read my book too and I'm disappointed. See, shame and guilt is this over anger due to a powerful distraction. It's toxic. Toxic shame. See, toxic shame is different because it's chronic. It's like long term. That's why you got to be careful of putting yourself in toxic environments for a long period of time. If you're not with people who elevate you instead of people who tolerate you, y'all remember the movie Get Out? Y'all remember what happened in Old Boy and Get Out, right? You might want to get your ass on up out of there, homie. I'm just keeping it real. Or like what happened to Old Boy in the movie might be happening to you, homie. You're going to find yourself in the sunken place. And guess what? Usually it's all in your head. See, toxic shame is poisonous. It's actually a biological or psychological condition. That's actually, now come on. Toxic shame or shame is irrational feelings. It's neurotic, meaning it causes neurological disconnection. And so it is this feelings of shame. And it is the cause of the feeling of shame. And that causes guilt. So shame and guilt, that's why they go together. So shame, you can't be ashamed of something unless you feel guilty of something. So the feeling of guilt, but the feeling of guilt means what? I did something wrong. I feel guilty. Okay, what did you do wrong, brother? Well, as you mentioned it, I don't know. Exactly. See, we feel worthless. We feel humiliated. We feel self-loathing. It's a paralyzing feeling because it disconnects you from the neurological connection that activates the ADP and ATP in the body that gives you the ability to move. That's why you can't take action. So if I say, go on YouTube and make a video. Doc, man, what had happened, my brother? You know, I had to go to work, man, up the kids, the wife, man, the neighbor called. You got all of these coping mechanisms called excuses. I do it all the day. All you got to do is just, if you want to see if you got it, all you got to do is just make a goal to do something that's purpose-based, based upon your Dear Kinnear report. So if you're a one, just do something that's designed to put you in a position of leadership and watch your brain come up with all the excuses as to why you can't do it right now, but you can do it tomorrow. So we got to unearth hidden toxic shame. Because that is the core of all addiction and all codependency. Toxic shame. Shame is the core. It's the root. It's the base. So having a strong feeling, it stimulates the your CNS or the central nerve system, and it causes the fight, flight, or freeze, or cortisol to be released. Now, when that's released inside of the body, it activates and it disconnects the frontal lobe and it connects the reptile brain, and you go into survival mode. So you lose your ability to exercise reason and logic, so you always make bad decisions, even though you're a very intellectual person. That is the number one key. You're suffering from toxic shame. It's chronic shame. It's not just shame. It's been around for a long time. Chronic. So the way that you know that you got it is if you always make bonehead decisions. Now, you know you're not supposed to do that, but you do it anyway. Why? You can't even, you after you do it, you're like, damn, why the hell did I do that? Like people do, like, well, I can't say people. Like, I've done bonehead stuff. Like, why would you quit a job and you don't got another job lined up and rent is due in 2 weeks? And you already behind. You owe them money. That's the kind of stuff I used to do. Like, why would you do that? It doesn't make common sense. It don't even make freaking uncommon sense. So when toxic shame and guilt, when you feel guilty, you feel ashamed. When you feel ashamed, you feel guilty. It is internalized shame. So that means that it internalized shame is toxic shame, but it hides in the unconscious brain. Most people are totally unaware that they have shame. You know, it's the only time I notice it. Usually when I notice that I'm suffering from shame and guilt is whenever I do certain things that cause other people to notice what I'm doing. In other words, anytime there is a feeling that is produced from the experiences or from the outside instead of the inside, it shows me my inside. So I can, you know, I can hide my unconscious feelings or my unconsciousness from people. But it's when I experience the external event that triggers an internal response. That's when the shame spirals and causes feelings of hopelessness or despair or anxiety or uncomfortableness. So I know I'm suffering from shame and guilt when an external event happens that has nothing to do with me, but yet I have a feeling. Because remember, shame is a fundamental underlining, you know, belief that says I am unlovable, just like self-rejection. So shame is that underlining negative ability or the inability to have a worthy connection. Because remember, shame can be totally removed with a neurological connection inside of the self, which results in a spiritual or physical connection with everyone else outside the self. So toxic shame is a result from guilt. Now, why do you feel guilty, though? Now think about it. You feel guilty because of what? What did you do wrong? Well, remember, you had a dream. You had a goal. Now, most of us cannot recall the original source of the immediate shame, which usually originated back in childhood, prior to trauma-induced mind control. Now, if you ask somebody, why do you feel ashamed? Like, if you feel ashamed of something or ashamed for something, why? Why do you feel that way? Because something happened. Now, I have a older a sister that was extremely obese. And she used to get teased. Nobody said it to her face because she was bigger than everybody else. She would put males and females asleep. I witnessed it. But then I have a feeling of shame or uncomfortableness when I see heavy set people. because of the anxiety, chronic shame anxiety, or the fear of experiencing shame for them. So there are certain voices, there are certain images, there's a certain belief, again, usually, and in my case, it originated in childhood, that's associated with a negative story. Because I saw how people who were overweight were talked about behind their back. So I feel a sense of shame or sympathy or empathy, but it's twisted sympathy or empathy. Because remember, most shame and most guilt comes from things or goals that are not realistic. It's not realistic. It's not, remember, it's unrealistic expectations. It is misplaced dependency that's at the base of most negative shame stories. So if you put your dependency, it's, remember, shame is a deep feeling of inadequacy, basically. So is guilt. They're both the same, but one is internal. There's an internal feeling of inadequacy, and then there's an external feeling of inadequacy, but they both are feelings of inadequacy. You feel inadequate. That's shame. That's guilt. Inadequate. You don't measure up. But it's different from self-rejection, and it's different from self-hatred. Because shame is a frantic anxiety due to a lack of achievement. Perceived is not real. Most people that are ashamed of themselves, most people that are guilty, are overachievers, but they don't even know. Most people that are ashamed and feel guilty, like I was talking to my oldest daughter, she just moved into a brand new house. She just got brand new furniture. She got a very nice sofa, $5,000. She just paid, you know, like $25,000-$30,000 just for the venue of her wedding. She has a very, 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 very successful business. She didn't even know at the grand opening or the last thing. I'm like, man, Shana, you're doing pretty good. You got both venues sold out. She's like, oh, man, Dad, I don't know, man. It wasn't that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hold up. I'm like, you know, so how many seats did the place? Oh, 300 people. For the first and second, and they both sold out. Okay, what was the ticket price for each person? Oh, well, we only charge $7. Okay, I'm no mathematician. I mean, you know, I barely graduated. They just let me go. But 300 times 7, again, I'm no guru. It comes up to 2,100. Last I checked, 2,100. Twice. Again, not being a mathematical genius, that's 42. That's $4,200 in one day. That's just the tickets. We didn't count the T-shirts. We didn't count none of the else. Yeah, but you know that, but there's always the inability, the feeling of inadequacy. The feeling is not real. It's not real. In fact, all people that suffer from self-shame and self are the most successful people on earth. That's why they freaking driven. They're not being led. As a retired individual that was driven by demons, I did not read about this shit. It's in no book. This is real life experience, homie. People who suffer from self-shame and self-guilt, they have statements like, I am stupid. Now, again, they internalize these statements. This is the script that's running in their head. This is the script. I actually wrote mine down. I wrote down the feelings. This is what I used to say to myself when I first got out of the military, way back in the day, when I was in Groundhog's Day, like really bad. And I remember writing this down 20 plus years ago. This is what I wrote down. This is the thoughts that would go through my head. I am stupid. I'm unattractive. I'm short. I'm a failure. I'm a bad person. Nobody loves me. I'm a fraud. I'm phony. I'm selfish. I'm not good enough. Nobody would ever accept the real me. I don't matter. I am inadequate. I don't deserve to be happy. I Am Unlovable, and The Smoking Gun. The one that used to make me pull over and cry like a newborn baby on the side of the road. I Wish I Wasn't Born. I used to say that shit to myself. Those words, that shit, that was a script running into my head, because those were the words that was told to me by my grandmother. I left a few out, the one like you're going to be grow up to be a worthless, no good for nothing, alcoholic like your daddy. That's why I don't drink to this day. That script still runs in my freaking head. I just override it with another script. That is why I do not give myself the luxury of a bad day. I cannot afford it. If I go bad, y'all will see my black ass on the news. I cannot do it. That's why it's not even an option. It ain't even on the table for me, boo-boo. It's not even in the cards. Today's message is for, like, people who, your darkness, you don't really think about, like, crawling up behind somebody and slitting their throat. This is for you. There are some people like me. Remember, whatever degree the pendulum swings to the left, it also swings to the right. Y'all should never forget that. That's very important. The people that are the holiest or the best, them suckers are the evilest too, if that's a word. You don't want them to fall. Trust me. Those people that high up all the T.D. Jakes and stuff, y'all better stop talking about them. If T.D. Jakes fall, y'all going to be reading about him in the news too. You do not want people who are high up on the food chain to fall, because they got deep, the tallest buildings have the deepest foundations. I'm just going to leave it at that. I got demons buried in my closet. Like, if I told y'all, we probably would not be friends. So I got a script that overrides that script. The script still plays, but I got another script. That script plays. I'm stupid. I'm unattractive. I'm a failure. I'm bad. I'm a phony. All of that. That shit is still playing in the background right now while I'm talking. That script is running. But I got another script playing. And that script comes from the King of Glory. Because I'm the King of Glory. I'm just regurgitating what my father said about me. So I wrote it in the book. The title of the book is Dare to Be You. I wrote that book for me. Now, I'll sell it to you. I ain't giving it away because I know my worth and value now. When I was younger, dumber, and stupider, I used to give away all my shitness because I was just happy that you saw my worth and my value. Now, in addition to seeing my worth and value, send me some paper, homie. If not, assalamu alaikum. Alaikum salam. Kick some rocks. We see you when we see you. Now, the old me, I wasn't confident in saying that because I didn't see no value in me. Now, I sell all my shitness too cheap. Everything should be tripled. But I love people, and I want to make it available. But let me make sure, brothers and sisters, because see, people take where I'm at now because they don't know where I came from. If you knew where I came from, oh, you would understand. You say, yeah, doc, go ahead, triple your prices, bro. Because you see, but people can't disrespect you unless you disrespect yourself. Self-shame and self-guilt is extremely dangerous because it is an intense, very intense, unintentional transfer of a verbal or nonverbal message into a physical and non-physical behavior. Let me say that again in English. Somebody should write that down. This is Groundhog Day at its core. This is why you can't get up in the morning and take massive action. Massive. I'm talking about work like a Hebrew slave for yourself and get paid. This is the only difference between millionaires and non-millionaires. Their shame is an internalized, intense feeling. That's the result of a real experience. It is a constant negative event recall. Now, this is an unintentional transfer that creates a neurological disconnection. This transfer is shame that's transferred usually from an adult to a child. through verbal and nonverbal messages. But the way that it's manifested is through verbal and nonverbal behavior. So a remember that script I just told you about that I got planned in the back of my head that I replaced with another script that I've written down in my book, Dare to Be You, on page 33. It's easy for you to remember because I'm Master Teacher 33. That's why I put it on page 33. So I go to that book and it says that I'm a royal priest. I'm a holy nation. I'm a joint heir. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God said he would never leave me nor forsake me. If I'm being evil, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more will my heavenly father give a good gift, give gifts to me? If he be for me, who can be against me? God wishes above all things that I prosper, be in health, even as my soul prosper. I have the power to trample on snakes and scorpions and all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means harm me. See, I memorized this shit when I was 18, homie, because I had real devils in my head, not no imaginary ones. Them real devils and them real demons, they come nonstop, 24/7, 365, brothers. And it is your ability to understand that nonverbal message and that verbal message that's transferred from the parent to the child, so that the child has a feeling of being unloved, being unattractive, being depressed, being indifferent, being irritable, that feeling of not being able to meet the parents' expectations is transferred to the child. And so the child grows up knowing that they can't even meet their own expectations. It is an overcorrecting behavior that is usually passed down. And that is why, brothers and sisters, like I said before, I sucked as a father, but I ain't dead yet. So I have the ability to talk to my sons and my daughters, and I apologize to them all the time. BJ, Sade, Sheree, Kendrick, some of y'all listening, I apologize again. And I'm going to see y'all at Kendrick's graduation, and we're going to party like rock stars. Why? Because my father fucked up, and so I fucked up. But the fucking up stops because my son's got daughters, and he's doing it right. And my daughter has daughters, and she's doing it right. The buck stops here. I'm exposing the devil. That's why I do what I do with the passion that I do. Because I got 5 children that are looking at me because I'm their father. And then I got 2 more with my new marriage, and they looking at me, and I'm their father. I got to model the behavior. I've never, ever disciplined Janiyah or Alec. I would never, ever allow that demon to be transferred to them. If I got a problem with them, I call their mama. And I tell my wife to address it. I know I am not fit to discipline children. To this day, I got too much anger. I got a good intentions, but it come across because I want them to be perfect. And I ain't perfect. So I know I'm dealing with my own demons. So why in the hell would I pass on my demons to somebody else? Why would I continue to transfer that demonic energy to other people? So I already messed up. You think I'm going to continue? It's very important, brothers and sisters. Shame leads to aggression. My son BJ, I love him to death, man. BJ, you know I love you, homie. When BJ was in high school, I could be him on right now. BJ got into fights all the time. BJ, like me, is a little dude. But that fool will fight anybody in a heartbeat. Very aggressive. Where does he get that aggression from? Why is he so angry? Shame and guilt. Why? My little stepson, Alec, we've been dealing with him. He used to always get in fights. He's a little dude. Angry. Now, he ain't no little dude. He's a big dude. But why is he angry? Self-acceptance. You see, brothers and sisters, if you don't deal with that anger that was passed verbally and non-verbally, usually vibrationally, but it always manifests in behavior. You can always tell. But at the end of the day, it's because of a feeling. And that feeling is, I don't measure up. I'm ashamed of myself. That is why it's so dangerous to go to places and hang out with people that spit rhetoric that says you're a worthless sinner. Because what that says to a child is, I don't measure up. There's nothing I can do Because I know, you mean to tell me that's why God gave grace? He know you can't make the Ten Commandments, man. That's why he gave you grace. Grace is unmerited favor. If you look at the word grace, it's God's riches at Christ's expense. That is the only message anybody should preach. Everything else brings about guilt. Even if you don't want to do it, you're doing it by verbal and nonverbal vibrational release. That feeling of inadequacy, that feeling of being unworthy, that desire to hide because you know you don't measure up. I wanted to blend into the wall because I came from a religious background and I know God was disappointed. Because I know the thoughts that was going on into my head. So preaching every day didn't do shit for me, but made me more evil. Because I knew I couldn't measure up, so shit, I said, hell, I might as well go to hell. If I'm going, I'm going with gasoline draws on. So I went over to the devil's side of the camp. That's why religion is so dangerous. Because it preaches or it brings about a feeling. Now, nobody gets up in the morning and says that they want to make other people feel bad. But if you tell me to do something that I don't have the ability to do, that's why you got to explain stuff to your children in vivid detail to make sure that they understand it. Because that feeling of inadequacy, that feeling of being unworthy, that feeling of wanting to disappear, that feeling of not being born, I know that feeling better well, very well. I pray to God that you never have that feeling of looking your mother in the eye while you're getting beat and she turns her back and walks away. That feeling, no therapist can help you with that, homie. Shame is insidious. Do you remember the movie Insidious? The word insidious means shame. In the movie Insidious, you know that would know that donkey with the red eyes? That's what used to appear in my dreams when I was a little boy. That the Minotaur. Them two entities that's why I used to urinate and defecate on myself all the way up until the age of 8. Because of shame and guilt. And then when I would urinate and defecate on myself at school, and all my little friends would laugh at me, call me little shitty Willie. Oh, I came from a dark place, brothers and sisters. I don't know if you understand. So what I'm talking about is I know shit I read in no book. This breeds narcissist behavior. Every narcissist, that's how he was born. Because when he was a child, he got disrespected in his head. Whether it's real or not doesn't matter. How the child feels, it brings about a cycle of self-destruction because you want to punish the self, but you can't punish the self, so you're going to punish somebody else. That breeds serial killers. Every serial killer I know, because I worked in the Supermax, and I interviewed all of them suckers, and they all was raised by narcissist parents who made them feel inadequate. Now, I knew my grandmother wasn't trying to bring about a paralyzing global disposition in my brain. But when she said those words like, you worthless, you no good for nothing, you're going to grow up and be a worthless, womanizing alcoholic like your father, that creates a feeling of inadequacy in the brain. And then that creates a constant seeking for constant confirmation. And so you are always feeling like you don't deserve it. So you got to constantly say things like, I love you. Or constantly say things like, do you like me? Or constantly seek validation. This constant seek for validation is the number one indication of self-shame and self-guilt. Because it's a problem of self-perception and a lack of self-esteem. So my brothers and my sisters, these three are extremely important that you understand. So tomorrow, we're going to start the solution. We're going to break down the three keys to overcome these three vices with the three virtues, or three keys to assist with you oscillating and vibrating in your true, authentic self. So, brothers and sisters, again, I want to thank you, so much for joining me on today's show and this entire series where we're talking about the three causes of neurological interruption. It's very important that you love yourself unconditionally. it's very, very, very important that you accept yourself unconditionally. Loving yourself and accepting yourself unconditionally is two different things. We're going to be breaking down tomorrow. And it's extremely, 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 extremely important that you change the social norm and the hidden codes inside of the self so that way you can accept and love the self, which we'll be breaking down the solutions starting tomorrow. But I love you. I appreciate you. Let me end with my new song by my son, B. Jola. This is a powerful song that he just wrote. I think he wrote this on Mother's Day. This is a very, very powerful song called Let Us Grow. Let Us Grow. So, brothers and sisters, again, thank you very much for joining me on today's show. God bless. He has a name written on his thigh that no man can pronounce. May the sun, the S-O-N, the S-U-N, and the S-U-M continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brother, as always, my brother, I will.
I never want to let you go.
I will.
Don't you forget, Mia, you the light, don't you forget, Scarlet, you the light, don't you forget.